Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from thedraftnetwork.com on a beautiful, wonderful Monday morning. You are out of Baltimore now. How was your experience up north, Trevor?
I now know what you're talking about when you say like typical up north weather.
Yes.
Because it rained and was a steady 42 degrees for my entire trip up in the Baltimore, D.C. area.
That's a good weekend, man. That's a great weather weekend right there. Man, jealous. No, actually, it wasn't too bad up here in Pittsburgh either.
I think my phrase for the year is now becoming, I don't get how you people do this.
My favorite thing is Indianapolis at the Combine when you're like sprinting between every building when we have to go outside.
Oh, it's awful. Yeah, you like Indy's worse because it's windy.
Yeah, it is bad. Indy's worse than where Indy's closer to where I live. Like I live more in like a mountainous area, so like it is pretty windy up here a lot of the time. But like Pittsburgh's not that bad compared to Indy. Indy's a lot worse than Pittsburgh for sure. It's a mock draft Monday. In some ways, we're gonna look through the top 10 because the order was shooketh. The earth in the draft order hereby were shooketh by the 49ers' inability to lose a freaking football game. I'm telling you, man, this is a catastrophic loss.
They had it, John.
Loss slash win. I know. Right in their lap. Nick Bosa for the next 10 to 12 years, right in your lap. And now they're sitting at number 4 in the draft order because they just had to go and beat Seattle. And I asked them, I said to the people, I said, listen, I said, was this worth it for you? And the 49ers fans were surprisingly or unsurprisingly, depending on your opinion of the fan base, divided on this because some were like, it's worth it to beat Seattle, screw those guys, in other more profane terms. And others were like, this is literally, I feel sick to my stomach. Like, Nick Bosa was the perfect player. And that's the thing. He was the perfect player for San Francisco. He was exactly what the 49ers needed, exactly what they wanted. This is a completely meaningless win.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, like you can't tank. I know it's like you can't create a culture that surrounding, you know, that encourages losing. You can't do it. I get it. It's just unfortunate the way that it ended up. And they're playing the third string quarterback. So what else are they going to do?
Right.
I just can't believe it. I cannot believe they won this game.
It sucks. It's because there were Bucs fans who were kind of in the same situation a couple of weeks ago, like with Carolina, and it's like, you really don't want to win this game.
Right.
You really don't. Right. And Bucs fans were like, no, screw Cam Newton. Screw Carolina. Because this is a divisional opponent. So mm-hmm. I get it. I get that why the fans have the animosity there. But I guess technically the Bucs were playing for something. But like the 49ers were not playing for anything. They were playing for Nick Bosa. And they blew it. It's a travesty. I feel bad. Because it's one of those things where even the fans who are saying that it was worth it are going to wake up 3 weeks from now and go,
right,
crap.
Right. When the feeling's worn off and the draft order rolls around and they're sitting at 4 and Bosa is about to get, you know, it's, yeah. It's,
if they're sitting at 4, yeah. We'll get to them in this mock draft. But.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. So we have a lot to go over. Meanwhile, Arizona has captured the top spot. That has to just be salt in the wound for San Francisco. I mean, now you have to face Nick Bosa all the time, twice a year. If the Arizona Cardinals do, in fact, hold on to that spot, which Cardinals are the worst team in football. They're one of the worst NFL teams I've ever seen. I have no idea how they won 3 games this year. I know
you see you see Steve Wilks, Mikey Can.
Oh, yeah.
They might actually do it.
Everything. Like, we'll see what happens, obviously. But it doesn't spread. They are just a train wreck. I mean, the offensive line is, I mean, it's completely unwatchable. I've never seen anything like their offense is one of the worst things I've ever seen. I mean, and now Kirk's on IR. Kirk's been on IR for a couple weeks, so it just, I mean, it's horrendous. That is a horrific football team that somehow thought they were going to compete this season. I mean, they signed Sam Bradford for $20 million because they thought they were going to compete this season. Incredible.
Yeah.
And that will get your GM fired or gone. So we'll see what happens with Steve Kime. But what a mess.
Behind it. Oh.
What's that? Trevor is on the mobile today. We got Trevor on the cell phone today. So we might get him a little cutting in and out here on the show. But we will roll through this top 10, and we'll kind of just what we'll do is we'll talk about each team in the draft order, and we'll discuss like what are the options for them, and then I'll pick the odds and you pick the evens. Wait, you pick the odds because the Bucks are picking number 9, so you got the odds. I'll take the evens. So you're up first with the Arizona Cardinals. I'll set the stage by saying this. Obviously, there are a ton of needs here. I would definitely entertain, and that means like keep your options open. If somebody gives a king's ransom to trade up, I don't know if this is the draft for that with this quarterback class, but if that happens, you got to keep those options open. But I mean, man, like Nick Bosa to play with Chandler Jones, I know there's other needs, but that kind of seems like a no-brainer, right?
Yeah. It's actually, you bring up an interesting point there, because if it was the 49ers and Nick Bosa, I'm not entertaining like any trade offers in number one. Mm-hmm. Like he's the dude.
Right, for sure.
But the Cardinals, like you said, they're so bad in so many different places that like if the 49ers are sitting at 4, and let's say they're like, ah, crap, we really do want Nick Bosa, and they want to trade up to him, you'd probably do that if you're the Cardinals, because you can get a good player at 4, and where like you would want Nick Bosa, obviously, if you're staying at 1, that's who you're going to pick. And so in this mock draft, that's who he's going to be the pick. But I mean, it's not a foregone conclusion that Quinnen's going necessarily to. So who knows if he slides a little bit in the top 5. You could get an edge player that's got a lot of potential still at number 5 and get more first-round picks if that's the way that it plans out. So, I don't know. I think that if the Cardinals end up being the team at 1,
right,
it actually opens the door for them to move because there's a couple of different options. But if they are staying at 1, yes, it's going to be Nick Bosa.
Right. No, I agree. I think that if they stay there, it's a no-brainer. But the idea of drafting Jonah Williams is attractive. I don't know if the NFL is as high on him as we are, but to my mind, that would be a great fit for Arizona. They have tons of offensive line needs. They have needs at receiver. They have needs in the interior defensive line. They have huge needs at cornerback. Safeties are aging. I mean, it's a mess. It's a complete disaster. So they've got a lot of work to do, obviously. So that's why I thought being at number 2 wasn't even that bad of a thing for Arizona. Like, okay, you miss Nick Bosa, but, man, you could take Quinnen Williams. You could move down a couple spots, still get
out. Right.
You know, there's just so many options available for Arizona. So we'll see what happens. We don't even know who their GM is going to be, so we'll see how things shake out in Arizona. But you got that first pick. You're going Nick Bosa, obviously. I've got number 2 for Oakland, and I think this is so difficult. Like, the draft order just got messed up with San Francisco winning, I should say. Oakland is – okay, so you're sitting here. Quinnen Williams clearly – like, Quinnen Williams or Ed Oliver, depending on your opinion, doesn't matter. Same position. Players are going to be used in similar roles in the NFL. Oakland took PJ Hall in the 2nd round last year. I thought it was like 2 rounds too early at least, but they took him in the 2nd round last year. They clearly are invested in this guy as a building block for part of what they're doing for the future. And he's been okay this year. Like, he's not been like, wow, this guy's horrible, we just totally messed up this pick. I think he's been fine, and they absolutely saw him as a developmental guy, I'm sure, coming from a lower level of school. So, I mean, this is, you have to play a guy like that. And then you take Maurice Hurst in the 5th round, and he's one of the best defensive rookies in the league this year. So you can't sit either of them, and you can't play a third interior defensive lineman at one time. It's not like edge rusher where like you can crank out these guys and put 3 on the field and put 1 in the middle. No, like you're playing 2 edges, maybe 3, and I just don't know where a third guy, you know, if they draft Quinnen Williams, either PJ Hall's not playing or, you know what I mean? It just becomes this real, it's like,
right,
you want to give him the best player available, but how do you get all 3 of those few guys on the field at the same time? They're not like Calais Campbell, where they can kick outside, like, and then play inside. Like, those are full-time interior guys, and you're having 2, maybe 1 on the field in today's NFL with the pass rusher coming on the field on long and lay down. So, I don't know. I just think that this is a hard pick for Oakland, and we're not talking enough about how hard this pick will be for Oakland. Now, there's other options, too. But at number 2, what else, you know, if you're not taking a quarterback, and I don't know that I'm convinced they are, nor do we know whether Haskins or Herbert will be in this class.
Right.
What are you doing if you're Oakland in this spot?
I
trading down? You already have 3 first-round picks.
I know. You're almost in trading up territory.
Right. They could be. I mean, it could be that thing where they're like, listen, Arizona, like, move down one spot, give us Nick Bosa, and you could have the farm. Obviously, we can't do that in this situation. So I'm sitting there on the board at Oakland. I'm number two. You know, I would love to trade down. I mean, you pick a target. I mean, offensive tackle probably isn't it. Again, they took Colton Miller in the first round, Brandon Parker in the third round. So, you know, it may not be Jonah Williams. Maybe it's an offensive player. Maybe it's a skill guy. Maybe it's another edge guy. Maybe you can move down and get Josh Allen. In this situation, they're sitting at number two. The need at edge is so great. You know, I would give them a guy like Brian Burns or Josh Allen, and this just because I don't know where else you go. Do I think those guys get drafted at two? No. But for Oakland, it is just hard for me to justify another defensive tackle after they have two from last year's class that are both starting and playing Hurst great and Hall at a pretty decent level.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Josh Allen.
You're in a tough spot. Oh, so you're going with Allen?
I'm going with Allen at number two. I mean, obviously, I don't think he'll go that high, really, when it's all said and done. But in this situation, given the framework, I'm going to go with Josh Allen.
Wouldn't it be funny if the defensive end, Josh Allen, went higher than the quarterback, Josh Allen?
Two Josh Allens in the top 10 in back-to-back years. I wonder if there's ever been a player with the same name
in
back-to-back years. I would have to say, yeah, it would be surprising.
No way.
We're making history on the Locked On NFL Draft podcast.
Jets are at three, right?
Yes.
Okay, so, all right, answer me this. You might have a better pulse here.
This is hard, too.
Is Leonard Williams going to still be there?
I don't know, man. He just hasn't been that great this year. I think he'll still be there, but I don't know if they're counting on him as a future building block piece, which means you're not drafting anyone because of him.
Okay, basically. So that means they're trading him on draft night.
That could be, yeah. Or before
after they draft Quinnen Williams at three.
I don't see an impossibility in what you're saying. Maybe they trade him before, or maybe he is gone before. I don't know. Either way, he doesn't keep you from drafting Quinnen Williams is my big thing. Is interior defensive line the biggest need for the Jets? No, absolutely not. He doesn't keep you from drafting Quinnen Williams. So maybe you move down and you take somebody else. Maybe they would love to get Josh Allen. Remember, the system is probably going to be different too, because Todd Bowles probably gets fired.
I do think that like edge is probably the Jets' number one priority going into the draft, at least certainly before the offseason. Mm-hmm. But again, you struggled to not reach for a guy, even though you did because you gave him Allen. But like, it'd be the same situation. Like, you're basically saying, okay, Brian Burns, if you trust his weight, which maybe you don't, because he is a guy who's like 6'5", 235. So in the NFL, it might be a weird transition for him, even though he does have a lot of really great skills. Or you're looking at a guy like Cleland. It's not Farrell. I always want to say Farrell, but it's Farrell, whatever. like you're looking at Farrell and saying, okay, but he's kind of still an overdrafted 3-2. So I don't, that's why I ask you the question right off the bat, is Leonard Williams going to be there? Because if they're on the fence with him at all, you're picking the best football player that's on the board, and that's Quinnen Williams.
Right. So. I think that, I just think if you're the Jets and you're there and you couldn't move down for whatever reason, and the roster is as it currently sits.
You have to pick good football players, man.
Right.
At the end of the day, you have to pick the best football players. So many teams try to get away from that and think about, sometimes it is positional need, like it was with Saquon, and it's paying off for them the way that it did because of that selection. And other times it's like when the Bucks passed on Derwin James and just things like that. And it's like, you've just got to pick the best football player. Mm-hmm. It's got to be able to boil it down to it. Little things are going to affect that decision here and there, but it shouldn't completely stop you from picking a more talented guy. It can be like a tiebreaker, like certain needs on a team and maybe contract situations or whatever. Those can be, I think, tiebreakers when you're really, it's a toss up between a couple of dudes. But when one guy is clearly the most talented on the board, which I do think Quinnen Williams is, I think you just got to take him.
Yeah, I agree. San Francisco at number four. Again, pass rusher, huge need, obviously. Three, if you got Quinnen Williams already off the board. I don't know whether interior guy would be the biggest need or not. At this point in the draft, they obviously have Buckner and Armstead, and Solomon Thomas get some time in there. And So I'm just not sure, you know, that that'll be a position that they go for, even if Ed Oliver's sitting on the board here.
If they picked Ed Oliver, and they had a four down lineman of Oliver, Buckner, Armstead, and Thomas, I would just laugh my head off.
All first round picks.
Two of them are giant tweeners.
Yeah.
One guy's too big for his own body.
Which one is that?
Armstead, man.
He's too big for his own body.
That would be the funniest D-line. That would be like some.
I don't even know where guys would play. Yeah. I don't even know where their guys would play. Like, who would play on the edge there? I don't even know. But needless to say, I don't think they go in that direction. Allen's already off the board, man. You're thinking about options. Obviously, you want to get a pass rusher. I mean, this class is kind of loaded with some defensive line talent. So if I'm San Francisco, I'm thinking about, obviously, we say this with almost every team at this point, moving down has got to be an option for you, no question. But if you're sitting here, cornerback is just this crying need. I don't know, man. Like, it's got to be Greedy Williams, Byron Murphy, Deontay Thompson maybe at safety. The secondary's been horrible. I would love to see them fill free safety and free agency with an Earl Thomas type. Who knows if Robert Saleh's even going to be back if the defense coordinator gets fired. I just think that you gotta find good players in the secondary. And I know Byron Murphy isn't a typical fit for that scheme, but he's a really good player. Like,
wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you just need to – like. Okay, Greedy's a better fit, but, like, tell me what Greedy did to get better this season. I just didn't see it, man. Byron Murphy's not a fit here.
I think they'd pick Greedy.
I do, too. I think it would be – Greedy would be a higher option for them than Murphy, given their
I actually fit. Think they'd probably pick a pass rusher over Murphy, but yeah. At five.
It's very but possible. Very possible they don't like any of the corners there out of those guys. I think that's a possibility, too. But – yeah, my main point is I think that right now, if you're San Francisco, you're looking at the secondary and pass rusher as the two biggest needs on that team, and you're looking at trading down potentially to fill other needs if you need to. So to me, I just think that given the 49ers situation, Byron Murphy's the best cornerback on the board, in my opinion, and I think they need one. So based on that and not necessarily a scheme fit, because I don't even know if Saleh will be there. We'll talk about scheme fits when we know who the staff will be when we get out of January here. But right now, given where they're at, I'm giving them a good player, Byron Murphy.
All right. Who's at five? I don't have the list in front of me.
Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, God. Okay.
Here it is.
In this reality, what quarterbacks do we have?
Well, I think Herbert's going back to school, and I think Haskins is declaring. Although I know he like put something weird on Instagram, right? To like Mike Weber, he was like, "One more year, Mikey." I was like, "Wait, what?" These guys love to mess with fans, man. They probably get a kick out of it.
It's got to be that, man.
I think he's coming out.
There's no way he goes back.
I don't think so.
New head coach.
Yeah, it would be weird. Come on. It would surprise me. I mean, he knows his head coach, so like that could
I know, but still, there's no certainty there.
There's especially
you are putting your money on the line.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he declares. So let's say he's in the draft and then you make up your mind if you think Herbert's in or not.
I'll say that I think that Herbert's actually going to declare. I do. Okay. I don't have anything there other than a feeling of when the bowl practices end and when everything kind of gets wrapped up, he actually sits down about it and they kind of go, "Look, dude, you're going to be a top 10 pick."
Right. Look at the business side of this.
Right, like just I know you want to play with your brother and you like seeing your brother, but like you can see him at Thanksgiving. All right.
You like seeing him, but you grew up with him, so.
Right, right.
Okay, so they're both in. Okay, Haskins.
I think that it's going to be Haskins to Jacksonville.
Okay. It's an interesting.
It just seems much more like a Jacksonville QB.
Yeah, it's an interesting fit. I mean, definitely could see Haskins. No, I don't even know what that offense is going to be, so I'm not even going to say that. I have no idea what Jacksonville. Yeah,
they're going to they're going to draft Haskins and they're just going to build the damn thing around him, because right now the offense is just not even something that resembles something with NFL success. And so they're going to draft him and basically gut everything else out of how they play the offense. So
Right. So, okay, Jacksonville goes Haskins. I like that. I think he needs some work, but I think that that could definitely be a fit with the rest of the talent that they have there, at least. Atlanta on the board, Ed Oliver on the board. This one is not very complex. I'm not going to make it very complex. He's the perfect fit for what they do. They love fast, one-gap, athletic, explosive players. This is probably dream come true for Atlanta. He and Grady Jarrett on the inside. You know, Tack McKinley and probably Vic Beasley for at least another year, and we'll see what happens on the outside. I mean, Beasley's got to get better, obviously, but other than that, I mean, that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. Maybe you draft another edge guy later. I mean, certainly Burns is a consideration, but I don't know. Ed Oliver on the board at six just feels like Atlanta's type of player.
I don't think they're going to give up on Beasley, right?
I mean, I don't know whether give up on is the right word, but like, you can't have him playing like all the time. You need a better pass rusher than him on the edge, basically. So
he's just not a factor anymore, man.
He like, honestly, his one good year, like his 15 sack year or whatever, like, I'm not trying to take away from the guy, but like, he had like 4 sacks in the game against Tyson Brelo. Like, that kid who's, I don't even know if he's in the league right now. He was just horrendous. Like, what? And then he beat Havenstein, but this was when Goff was a rookie and having issues with those like deep drops. And he was like way too deep. And so he got sacked like 4 times in that game by Beasley. Beasley was just running like way wide like he normally does. And Goff was sitting there. So like, he was sacking him over and over again because of that. And then he had some chase down sacks, like some, he got a sack for like pushing somebody out of bounds, like right short of the like line of scrimmage, like, you know, like stuff like that, that kind of like, so, and I wrote an article after that season. I was like, don't get like, and Beasley was my number one edge. So it pained me to write it, but I was like, don't get fooled by this guy's stats. Like, he's a developing player, but I'm not sure he's ready to like do this every year, like that type of player. And then lo and behold, it's been worse than I even thought it would be, but he hasn't done anything the last 2 years. But all that to say, I think that Beasley doesn't get given up on necessarily, but it wouldn't surprise me if Edge is a top priority for Atlanta in the draft still, and you alternate guys. And I mean, you can't give Beasley a long-term contract, and this will be his last year. I think they picked up his option, I'm pretty sure. So this will be his last year, so you know, you have to plan for life after him. But I think that's kind of what they'll do in this draft. I bet they take one with one of their top picks in this draft.
Okay, that's fair. Oliver's for sure the guy, though.
Yeah, for sure. Detroit, by the way, is on the clock here.
Okay. You picked Byron, right?
I picked Byron, yeah. Corner's a need probably for the Lions. Pass rusher's a big need. Does Patricia care enough about it? That's probably the big question.
Yeah. Those are the two that I was thinking about. Because I think I'm going to give him Greedy. Yeah. I'm debating between him and Burns. But I think that Greedy fits exactly what they need a little bit more. He needs a lot of work, obviously, but having Slay on the other side, I think, is going to help a lot.
Yeah. I cannot see Brian Burns being a guy that Matt Patricia loves, but I don't know. Stranger things have happened. We'll see. Regardless, Detroit in this spot, I mean, give him a corner, give him a pass rusher. Cleveland Farrell may be a guy that he likes. We'll see. But
of a fit there. Farrell's more of a fit there than Burns is, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Patricia will like Farrell more because he needs guys that can defend the run. And I don't think Burns can't defend the run, but he's going to look at that size and he's going to be like, he's too lanky.
Right.
You know,
right.
He likes some boys with a meat on their bone, you know? That's how the Rob Ninkovich types.
Damn, yeah.
Just in case you guys were wondering, do it every year. We talk about it. MyBookie tell you to go over and bet the lines. We may not be great at it ourselves, but you guys know. Sometimes you guys know who's going to win these games. You hear us talking about it every single week. Whether you're an expert or rookie, you should be betting at MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, like playing the numbers on roulette, you can create a big parlay. Pick 3 teams to win, and if you hit all 3, you could turn $100 into $600. There's so much to bet on: college basketball and football, NBA, NHL, custom props, even esports, you name it. MyBookie is the one bet I know you'll be happy with all year. I recommend these guys because I really trust them. MyBookie has been in the business for years. They've got great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. Sign up this week, and MyBookie will give you a 50% deposit bonus to jumpstart your bankroll. It's a great way to bank even more money when you win. Also, make sure to follow at BetMyBookie on Twitter. They personally respond to every mention in DM, not to mention that they've given away more than $10,000 in free money to their followers this football season. You'll be the first to know as soon as new odds and props are posted. Don't miss out on one of the best weeks to bet on sports this year. Log on to MyBookie right now and use the promo code LOCKEDON. Locked On is the promo code to get 50% deposit bonus. That's Locked On. Locked On is the promo code. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, Trevor. Next up on the clock.
Yes.
Now that, or did you go with Cleland Furl, or did you go with
no,
Greedy Williams?
No, I'm greedy. Greedy. Okay. I'm giving him Greedy Williams.
All right, Greedy's a Detroit line. Next up on the clock, the New York Giants with the number 8th pick in this draft. First of all, they screwed themselves out of a higher pick by winning a couple games, but I get it. They came to their senses and realized that they needed to lose badly.
Didn't they
to Tennessee,
get shut out?
So they did. Tennessee shut them out, 17-0.
good God, man!
What a weird team. Everyone's
There's
like, here comes
more
the Giants.
Frustrating. There's nothing more frustrating than winning a couple meaningless games and then getting shut out
by the Titans.
Good God!
Yeah. Not good at all. I look at the Giants and I say, here's a team that if they don't invest in the offensive line, because I think they're going to stick with Eli Manning. If they don't invest in the offensive line, I don't really care about anything they do this offseason. Like, so maybe it happens in free agency, and I'm open to that. At this point in the process, with Jonah Williams sitting on the board, it's going to be hard for me to
No way.
You don't think I should draft Jonah Williams here?
You're not giving him Justin Herbert?
No. Heck no. I don't think Herbert's declaring. I don't think he's coming out. And I don't think they're leaving. I don't think they're going away from Eli.
Okay, but if, like, let's just say Herbert's in the pool.
Okay.
Would you pick Herbert?
Probably, yeah.
All right.
I'd probably shoot that shot, yep.
So how are we doing this mock? How do we want to do it or what we think they're going
to
do?
I'm trying to think about fits and what they have in mind right now. Not okay. Necessarily saying what I would do, because like if it's what I would do, I don't even think Herbert's going to be in the class. But yeah, I mean, you do. So I think that this is a team that's going to try to win with Eli. I do, and maybe that's because they don't really view any of the other options as great. I mean, if they turn their noses up at last year's quarterback class, I think it's a lot better than this year's quarterback class. And so I'm just going to assume that they're going to have a similar mindset here. Maybe seeing Eli up close this long has made them a little bit more lenient for to the young quarterbacks coming out in the draft, but. I think they try and roll with Eli probably and maybe look to address it in the 2020 draft as he gets another year older. I don't know. I mean, could be wrong. We'll see how things shape up in the offseason, obviously. But offensive line is just a huge, massive need for them, I think. And secondary is too, but we've already got two corners off the board. Definitely could be fine with Deontay Thompson, but probably re-sign Landon Collins in the offseason. So, you know, I'm fine with their approach to maybe addressing it in another facet with two corners off the board. Not going to reach for another one. So I'm going to go with Jonah Williams here. I think Jonah Williams make the most sense. And I think if you're the Giants fan, you should be happy with that. Like, he played right tackle as a true freshman. Soldier's your left tackle. Jonah Williams is your right tackle. All of a sudden, you're starting to build up your offensive line again. You know, and I think that that's the key to making this team really great, that and fixing the quarterback issue. And if that can't happen in this year's draft, don't reach for it. Deal with what you got. I understand, like, it's not an ideal situation. That's why I would have taken 1-2 or last year. But you didn't. Now you got to deal with the hand you got to work with the hand you're dealt, and I think in this situation that means you wait until 2020 for a quarterback, unless somebody declares that I don't expect.
All right,
so okay. I leave Herbert on the board for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It's not gonna happen.
Now are we doing this what you want, or are we doing this what you think will happen?
It's just there's no point in even entertaining it. Jameis Winston. Okay. Jameis Winston is going to be their quarterback.
That 13-25 for 157 with a pick performance against the Ravens really lighted up.
Bro, his receivers were so terrible in the rain.
It wasn't him.
He was hitting dudes. He was actually pretty dang accurate.
Okay.
There were a couple throws who weren't great. But
my apologies, Jameis. If you're listening to the podcast,
big fan of the pod, Jameis Winston.
If he once listened, he probably doesn't anymore.
This is a nightmare board in terms of need for the Buccaneers, because I think their top need is likely at offensive line. Jonah Williams not being there makes it tough at this point in the draft process to justify them reaching for somebody at 9. Even a guy like Dalton Risner, who I like. And then the other really glaring need that this team has is at corner.
Yeah.
And both Greedy and Byron are off the board in this case. So if this were to be how it plays out, I think they would still look for playmakers in the secondary.
Herbert.
I'm not getting – yeah. Noted ball hawk Justin Herbert. I'm going to give him Deontay Thompson.
Okay.
I'm not sure how keen they would be on that.
Right.
But I really like the idea of pairing Thompson with a Justin Evans. And then Jordan Whitehead, who has done some nice things, you could then allow him to be almost this kind of utility dime package, perhaps sub nickel package player, because he is a really athletic guy, and I think that he's played decently well this year. But I just don't think that he's ready for, like, or maybe even just as talented as a full-time starting role. But if you had him as a third safety to play kind of either spot, I think that's that would be ideal for them. And like I said, the way that the board is right now, it's kind of a nightmare for what Tampa would want to draft. But if this is the way that it goes, they would still get a really good secondary player, just maybe not at the exact position they would wish they could draft it at.
Sure. Okay. All right. I can get on board with that. I know that they're somewhat similarly styled players maybe, but I can still get on board with that. I like safeties who can do some of the same things, but I don't think either guy's like a real big detriment against the run either, right? I mean, I haven't seen a ton of Evans, but
Thompson can definitely
play the run. So
yeah.
All right. Buffalo is the 10th pick in our little mock scenario here. And for me, it's all about playmakers. You find him either in the secondary, and now we have three secondary players gone already, or you find him at receiver. And I think you fix the offensive line as much as you can in free agency. I mean, certainly fine with them entertaining offensive line at this point, but I'm going to go with a DK Metcalf type of player. Don't even care if it's DK. I think Riley Ridley's great too. I could see moving down and getting like Marcus Brown, a speed threat. Makes sense to me as well. But Metcalf's kind of that vertical receiver and big body that I just feel like would be a great combination with Josh Allen and that ability that offense clearly wants to have with the way they've used Robert Foster and things in recent weeks to move the ball down the field, to be a little more vertical in their attack. To me, Metcalf, that makes a lot of sense. You can put him inside, you can move him around, good fit for the EP system. And so I think that's the direction that they could go, but it's all about further development. You got to be able to develop Metcalf because he isn't all the way there yet. So there's some risk involved to Metcalf, but they took Josh Allen in the first round, and Jermaine Edmonds, and both those guys were super raw, so they're obviously not afraid of that risk.
Yeah.
So, yeah, now it's about building the players the way you want them, and I think Buffalo's prided themselves on bringing in great teachers at every position or every coaching spot. So I think that's kind of their mantra, is not being afraid of those types of players, and I think Metcalf fits that mold.
Yeah. So. No, I'm with you. I'd support that pick.
There you go. There's your top 10 for the 2019 mock draft. Kind of ran through some scenarios for you guys and some picks that could be on the board or be considered in those situations. Tomorrow, we go live on Twitch at 7:30 p.m. Eastern.
Well, actually, tonight, right?
Oh, yeah, tonight. Sorry. Tonight, Monday night. I'm getting my days all confused. We do tomorrow as well, also at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. But, yes, Monday night and Tuesday night, we will be live on Twitch recording the Locked On NFL Draft podcast for the following day. So Monday night, we'll be recording it for Tuesday morning, and Tuesday night for Wednesday morning. And we'll be recording tomorrow. Tonight, we're talking about our top 10 offensive players at all the position groups across the 2019 NFL Draft board that we have established so far. And then we're going to be talking defensive prospects, our top 10s at each position group on Tuesday night for the Wednesday morning podcast as well. So it's going to be a ton of fun. When I say talk, we're going to start talking about them, and we're hoping you guys jump on with us and take and fire questions at us. So 7:30 p.m. Eastern, Monday night and Tuesday night, mark your calendars for this week, tonight and tomorrow night. It's going to be a ton of fun. We're going to take a bunch of questions, get through a ton of draft content with you guys, and going to have a blast doing it. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.